Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
We are continuing our series, which is titled, What's Your ID? Today, we're on lesson four. The subtitle of today's lesson is called King Talk. And the main objective for this entire series is to understand that our identity, or understand that your identity, lies in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and to understand some spiritual disciplines that will help you to grow in that relationship. So we need to, in identifying who we are, understanding what's our ID, that we need to understand that our identity does not lie in the things of this world. It does not lie in the things that we seek. It does not lie within our jobs or our careers, not in our relationships with one another. You know, all of those things are part of our ID, but that's not where our ID lies. That's not the core. That's not the starting place for our ID. Our ID lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we also, throughout the series, are trying to learn some disciplines that will help us to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Our scripture is the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, he has given them the right to become what? Become God's children. So understanding that our ID it lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, Jesus has given us the right to become God's children, which first off starts with this. Our ID is this. We are God's children. We need to really grasp hold of the understanding and the truth to the fact that we are God's children. It is so hard for so many people to relate to God as being a son or a daughter of God. It's so hard for so many people to relate to God being their father. And so hopefully throughout this series, we're going to grow to a place where we have a better understanding, or we can have a better acceptance to the reality that we are God's children. I am his son, that you are his daughter, that he is our father. When that relationship becomes more evident in our lives, then that relationship takes on a whole different meaning. It goes to a whole nother level. A lot of times we look at God as being God. We look at God as being the ultimate being, the supreme being, and we look at him as being Lord. But so it's so hard for so many people to look at him as being Father. And it's so hard for, and because we have a hard time looking at him as being Father, we also have a hard time as looking at ourselves as being his children. Again, John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, to those he has given, and also believe in his name, he has given them the right to become God's children. So if we are his children, he is our Father. I want to share a story with you guys. And this is a very, very personal story about my life, my childhood, also about my mom. And so I want to put out a disclaimer. I want to be very transparent, but I also want to put on a disclaimer. What I'm about to share with you all is not an indictment against my mom. This is just what happened in our lives. Okay. The intentions were all good intentions, but there was an impact. There was a impact that happened to both of us, including my brother and my sister, that none of us saw, none of us expected, none of us knew that this is what was going to happen. But there was a purpose that was intended for good, but it created some problems in the midst of it. So that's my disclaimer. So during my childhood, my brother and my sister, most of you out here know my brother Eric and my sister Trina. During our childhood, my mom and dad got divorced. And when that happened, my mom went through a series of jobs and, careers and trying to reestablish herself and take care of these three young children. We were all very young at the time. And I think I was just starting kindergarten at the time, something like that. But we, during that time, my mom, as she's trying to navigate through life now, being unmarried and with three children, finding a career that she could, sustainably take care of all of us, take care of herself and all of us was a challenge to her, as many single mothers that some of you probably can relate to as being a single mother at some point in your life. My mom, she decided to move to Chicago. My Uncle John, he had established several businesses there and he was very successful. Some of you may know my Uncle John through my cousin, our cousin, Greg, his father. Uncle John established several, he had like three McDonald's restaurant businesses there. He had another restaurant called Gladys and Waddy. Gladys was his mom. Waddy is his wife, Greg's mom. He had a cookie shop there. He had some condos and some apartment complexes. And in other words, he was a very successful businessman in Chicago. And so he invited my mom to come to Chicago and to get involved in the McDonald's industry and the restaurant business. And so my mom moved to Chicago. And so what she did is she left us behind, my brother, my sister and I, she left us behind to stay with my grandmother until she was able to get herself established, get her career going, go through the necessary training she needed to go through in the industry. and so forth. She had to go through a whole lot of management training and so forth. And there was a higher goal that my Uncle John had for her than just to work in the restaurant. He had a higher goal for her. And so she had to go through a whole lot of extensive training stuff. And so, until she got herself established, we stayed with our grandmother. Well, during that time that we was with our grandmother, there would be times where we didn't talk to our mom, as being young children. There was times that we didn't talk to our mom maybe for weeks. And sometimes, it felt like, and it may have been even months that the time, span between talking to her, having phone conversations with her. And I don't know if months was a reality, but in the mind of a child, it could seem, several days or even a week can seem like a month, but it would seem like there was the time gap, but that between the times that we were talking to our mom seemed like it was a long time. So when we did talk to her on the phone, those was like really special moments for us to talk to her. After a few years, she decided to, after she got herself established and things were going well or whatever. And that actually might not even been a few years. It might have been, 2 years or so. I'm not sure. But it seemed like an eternity. But we moved to Chicago and we were so excited to be united with our mom again and living with our mom again. But we was also excited to live in this new place, to live in Chicago. We've been to Chicago as a child many times before, visiting here and there. But to actually live there was like a whole new experience for us. And, we was like so excited, man, and all these tall buildings and, the massive number of people and places. It was grand to us. And so we were excited about living there, got a whole experience, a whole lot of new things and meet a whole lot of new friends and what have you. But the main thing was being able to be united with our mom again was really exciting to us. But when we got there, we realized after a short period of time, we realized that something had changed. We realized that something was different that none of us expected, none of us saw coming, none of us realized until we actually found ourselves in this situation or this reuniting time. And what we found out that changed was our relationship. The relationship that we once had with our mom and the relationship that she once had with us, it had changed. And because we had been separated for so long, it was like we had to learn each other all over again. It's like there were certain things about our mom that we didn't know that we used to know at one time. We didn't know what things she liked. We didn't know what her dislikes were. you know, and she didn't know what we liked and she didn't know what our dislikes were. I mean, simple things such as, you know, foods, you know, as you grow, things change over time. You know, there may be something that you like today, but, you know, next year you don't like it no more. You know what I mean? And there were certain things that, you know, she liked and didn't like. There were certain things that we liked and didn't like that we didn't know. And we had to learn these things. You know, there were certain, you know, things like, you know, what made her smile or what made her frown or, you know, what made her happy or what made her upset, you know, that we just didn't know. Sometimes we as kids, we made mistakes and we did things because we thought it was OK. In reality, it wasn't OK with her. Because and it was simply not because we were bad or mischievous kids or rebellious or anything like that. It's just we just didn't know. We didn't know that mom didn't like that or we didn't know that mom did like that. And so we had to, you know, there's these things that happen. And, you know, we didn't know what each other's interests were. You know, we began to develop interests, you know, during the years that we were staying with our grandmother that our mom didn't even know anything about. You know, I began to play football. You know, and during my football years, when I once I moved to Chicago, you know, I sought out to continue playing football. You know, I was very athletic. I used to love to run. You know, I remember joining cross country when I lived in Chicago. And my mom was like, what the heck is cross country? You know what I mean? And, you know, I played football in Chicago and different things like that. We play softball. We play softball in Chicago. Mama, so we were, you know, especially me and my brother, me and Eric, we were so into athletics and everything athletic. You know, we wanted to join baseball team. We wanted to join the softball team. We wanted to join the kickball team. You know, we wanted to join football, basketball, you know, cross country, track. I mean, I did all of these things. My athletic career started when I was living with my grandmother going to Cherokee Elementary School. But when I moved to Chicago, it really elevated itself because there was so much more options that were available when we were there than there were in the schools that we were going to in Memphis. Like we didn't have cross country in Orange Mound. You know what I mean? But then I found myself in Chicago playing cross country. We didn't have softball. At least I don't remember softball in Orange Mound. But when I go to Chicago, I softball. I love softball, you know. So about my athletic career and even my brothers, it began to grow and our interests grow. But my mom, she didn't know about this stuff, you know, and my sister, you know, some interests that she had. There was things that my mom was interested in that we just didn't have a clue about. We didn't know. So it was like because of this time of separation that we had to learn each other all over again. And because we had to learn each other all over again, it was like we didn't really know each other. And so we had to work at getting to know each other all over again. It was hard for us to, you know, really identify that this is our mom or not this is our mom. We knew that she was our mom and she knew that we were her children, but it was hard for us to identify. In other words, how do I be a son? You know, and there was times where she struggled and she had to figure out how do I be a mom to these children? You know, and so that although we knew that, you know, this is mom and she was like, this is my kids. We knew that we knew things about each other, you know, because we were together long before we went to Chicago. You know what I mean? But it was some things that during that time span where we weren't together, where we all grew and changed, some things changed. And it was like we had to learn each other all over again. And this created some problems in our relationship. It created a gap. It created a disconnect in our relationship. You know, there were times where I couldn't even remember my own mom's birthday, you know, and I struggled and my mom's birthday would come along and it's like, who knew? You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody told us, you know what I mean? That's like, dang, I don't know. I don't even know my own mom's birthday. When is mom's birthday? You know, somebody's, I don't know. You know, that type of a disconnect or that type of a gap took place with us. And so sometimes it was really hard with something simple like that as remember your mom's birthday. So when I talk about being hard to the struggles that we had sometimes identifying as her children is that there were certain things like that we just had this disconnect with, such as remembering her birthday. So that's what I mean when I say that disconnect or being able to identify. So when it comes to our relationship with God, it is so important that we have this constant communication with him. You know, we were separated from our mom distance-wise. We were in Memphis. She was in Chicago. But the gap, I would say that the gap grew, you know, not so much because of the distance, because it grew so much because of the lack of communication. It grew so much because we weren't talking as much anymore. You know, it grew so much because, you know, it may be weeks or sometimes felt like months that we would talk to each other. And so the more and more, or shall I say, the less and less that we talked, the more and more that we grew to a place where we didn't really know each other. The more and more that gap in our relationship grew, the more and more the disconnect in our relationship grew because we did not have this constant communication that was taking place. And so when it comes to God, you know, God is distance-wise, he's far away from us. You know, he's in the heavens and we're here on the earth. And so there's a distance there, you know, at least in the natural, as we can feel it, as we can relate to it, there's a great distance there. And we feel like he's so far away to where we can't reach him. But we can talk to him on a regular. We can talk to him constantly. And so when it comes to God, it is so important that we have this constant communication with him. This constant communication with him will prevent us from having such a gap in our relationship, or prevent us from having or being so disconnected from him as some of us may feel. We may feel, man, this is, God is just so far away from us. And or I don't really know, you know, when we don't talk to God on a regular, when we don't have constant communication with God, you know, we experience the same disconnect, the same gap that I felt with my mom when I was a child. You know, we don't know what his interests are. We don't know, you know, what makes him smile and what makes him, you know, frown. We don't know what his likes and his dislikes are. When it comes to not talking to God on a regular, consistent basis, it what happens is there are things about him that we just don't know. We just don't understand. And it's not because we're bad people or he's a bad God or anything like that. It's because there's a lack of communication. A lack of communication causes gaps and disconnects in relationships. That's just the reality of you know, not communicating with one another, having conversations with one another. You know, when we talk to him, you know, it's like, or shall I say, when we do talk to, or when we don't talk to God for a long time, and there's these time spans of not talking to him that just gets wider and wider and wider. What happens is when we finally do talk to God, we could see that gap and that disconnect. It becomes really real. When we're not talking to him, it's like we don't think about it. It's like out of sight, out of mind. But then all of a sudden when we do talk to him, it's like, oh man, what do I say? You know, sometimes people, they can, you know, some of you on here right now may even be able to relate to this, you know, especially in times when we're in a group, or, you know, when there's a gathering of people. Let's just say there's a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, let's just say that Thanksgiving dinner, and a bunch of family and friends are all gathered. And then, you know, someone is called on to pray over the food. And then you all can relate to this, maybe not personally, but you've seen this happen many times before. Someone is called on a prayer and they be like, oh, I don't want to pray. Oh, I don't want to pray. Or I don't know what to say. You know, sometimes we, even with kids like, well, I don't know. You ask a kid to pray. I don't know what to say. You know, why do people feel like that? People feel like that because, not because they're bad, not because God is bad. You know what I'm saying? Not because they don't believe in God, or they don't, you know, have this distrust in God. It's nothing bad at all. It's simply because they don't have regular communication with God. And because they don't have regular communication with God, when they finally do talk to God, that gap becomes evident. That disconnect becomes evident. And it can sometimes feel very uncomfortable. When it comes to talking to God, we should not be in a place where we feel uncomfortable by talking with him. We should feel so comfortable with God and talking to him that we can talk to him about anything and everything. When we don't talk to God on a consistent basis, it becomes very hard for us to identify ourselves as his child. And it also becomes very hard for us to identify with him as our father. Just as, and not because we don't know that we're his children. We know that we're his children and we know that he's our father, but it becomes very hard to identify in that way. Just like with me and my mom. I mean, I knew she was my mom. She knew I was her son, but there were times where identifying that relationship was very hard. Like I said, there's times where I didn't even know her birthday. You know, I couldn't remember her birthday. There may be times where with you and God, where you may forget certain key elements about who he is or who his character is. Or there may be times where you need to include God into something in your life, but because there's not this regular communication, you just don't even think about including him. Not because you want to exclude him. We don't exclude God from our lives on purpose. We do it because we don't even think about it, because we don't talk about him on a regular. We just don't think about including him. Okay, I think y'all get what I'm saying, right? So let's talk about King Talk. The subtitle of our lesson today is called King Talk. Now, that was just the introduction, and that was a long introduction. Yes. And I want to let you guys know that the lesson itself is not going to be longer than that, okay? It's going to be pretty short, I think, maybe. We'll see. But King Talk. So subtitle of our lesson today is called King Talk. Talking to God is very important to our relationship with him. If you want to have a good relationship with God, start by talking to him on a regular, consistent basis. We need to have regular communications with God, okay? Well, let me define two words for you to help us to understand this a little bit more. Y'all know that I'm a person, I like to define words, because so often we use words so carefree, so flippantly, to the point where we may use these words and not even understand the full meaning of what's actually being said or what's actually being communicated. So I love to define words. Two words I want to define in here. First one is regular. What is regular? We need to have regular conversations with God. Well, what is regular? Regular is arranged in a constant pattern with recurring intervals. Okay? Regular means constant, a constant pattern and reoccurring intervals, meaning that this happens all the time. This has happened constantly. It's just happening, you know. So when we're talking to God, when we're having conversations with God, it's regular. It's happening like this. It's happening like clockwork, just like the clock, the clock on the wall. It ticks. Those hands on the clock, you go click, 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 click. Regular intervals, constant intervals. That's taking place, reoccurring intervals. Click, click, click. We know that that thing is going to click like clockwork. Our conversation with God needs to be clicking like clockwork. It needs to be constant, okay? It needs to be regular. It needs to be a pattern. It needs to be reoccurring. It needs to be in intervals, all right? Conversation is the next word I want to define. Conversation is this: communication between two or more persons. There needs to be conversations with God, communication between two or more persons. So this is you and God. So there needs to be conversations between you and God. That meaning that conversation needs to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's not you always talking to God. And a lot of times our conversation with God is not really conversation at all. It's us talking to him. And we don't give God an opportunity to do what? Talk to us. We do all the talking. You know what I mean? So it's always one-sided, one way. It's going this way, going toward him, going toward him. But we don't give God the opportunity to talk back to us. We don't have conversations with him. Conversations is an ideal way of communicating because it allows for two people with different views to learn about each other. You see, there's certain ways that you see certain things. You understand certain things a certain way. You think a certain way. You act and you behave a certain type of way. And you want to have those, you want to have, you want to have behaviors. You want to have temperaments. You want to have your speech, your actions. You want to have your thinking. You know what I mean? You want to have all you. There's certain things about yourself that you really desire. There's something on the inside of you that really desires for you to pattern yourself after the ways of God. There are things about it because something in you tells you that if you pattern your ways after the ways of God, if you pattern your thought process, if you pattern the way you see the world, if you pattern your speech, if you pattern your behavior, if you pattern your quick responses after the ways of God, there's something on the inside of you tells you that those are great, good, and successful things. It's a great way to be, right? But because we are who we are, we just do the opposite. It's just like the Apostle Paul said. He said, when I want to do right, I do what? I do wrong. When I want to do good, what do? I do bad. You know what I mean? The Apostle Paul says there's something in of us just causes us to just do what we want to do. But we all really want to pattern ourselves after God. So having regular communication with someone, with God, with anyone, it's an ideal way of communication because it allows for two people or people with different views to do what? Learn about each other. I want to learn about who God is. I want to know when is his birthday. Okay, I'm just speaking, you know, hypothetically or facetiously, one of those words. But I want to know his birthday. If God had a birthday, I would want to know his birthday and I would want to know it like clockwork. If I want to know what makes him smile. You know what I'm saying? If I was to walk out the house, you know, walk out of my door, what is it that I can do to make God smile today? You know what I mean? I want to know. I want to know what makes him frown. I want to know what are his interests? What is he interested in? I want to know some things like this. I want to know what's his plan for my life. So many people don't know God's plan for their life because they don't have regular communication with him. That's why we don't communicate with him. We don't have conversations with him. Because we don't have conversations with him, we don't allow ourselves the opportunity to learn him. Okay. We can learn about God's views in certain topics by having conversation with him. God can hear us no matter where we are. He can hear us no matter what the situation is. The Bible tells us that he is omnipresent. Omnipresent means that he is present in all places at all times. He is everywhere at the same time, all the time. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 23 and 24, it says this. Am I God? Am I a God who is only close to you? No, I am far away at the same time. We know that there's this huge distance between us and God. That distance is we're on earth, God is in heaven. That's a huge distance. But at the same time, we know that God is very close to us because he's right where? He's right here in our hearts. He's a part of our being. He's a part of our makeup. He's a part of our creation. So God says, am I a God who is only close to you? No, he says, I am far away at the same time. Guess what? Even though he's close, he's far away at the same time. That's still not a reason. That's still not an excuse for there to be such a gap or a disconnect in our relationship. Understand this, okay? Goes on to say this. It says, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? No. It says, am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? God is everywhere. He is far away and he is close at the same time. He is inside and outside at the same time. He is hot and cold at the same time. I mean, he is black and white at the same time. I mean, y'all see the contrast? He is contrast every. So here's the deal. just because God is so far away and it seems like there's a such distance, that's still not a reason for there to be a gap or a disconnect in our relationship with him. God is never too close and never too far for us to do what? He is never too close and never too far for us to do what? For us to talk to him. We can talk to him anytime, any day, anywhere, under any circumstances. It does not matter. When it comes to talking to God, there is no limitations. You guys remember, some of you may not be old enough to remember this, but there was a time where, you know, when we had the landline phones, and I believe AT&T was probably one of the first companies to provide long distance calls on these landline phones. And there were times where on your phone service, you had to purchase a certain amount of time that was dedicated to long distance. In other words, your long distance service was not unlimited. You might have had, say, you might have had, you know, 4 hours of long distance per month. So you had to use that long distance service very carefully to make sure you don't use it all up in the whole month, you know? So whenever, and when I was a child and when my mom used to live in Chicago, that we was, that this was during that time where our long distance service was limited. You know, we had certain amount of time that we could talk. And so when our mom would call and we would talk to her on the phone, our grandmother, Maria, she would tell us, y'all need to hurry up and get off that phone. Y'all gonna use up all my long distance. So some of y'all are old enough to remember that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Wave your hand at me if you know what I'm talking about. You get on that phone and you talk long distance, and your grandma will be like, you know, or your mama or your dad will be like, you know, you need to hear him get off that phone talking long distance because I ain't got a whole bunch of long distance. Y'all using up all my long distance. And so we knew, Kina's laughing. I can see her text here. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But then, you know, there came a time where the long distance service, it began to evolve and change. And then there came a time where that long distance service became unlimited. And when it became unlimited, we was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? We felt like we was in heaven because we could talk forever to somebody on the other side of the country, you know? And but here's the deal with God. Talking to God does not have any limitations. There is no long distance limits on talking to God. There is unlimited long distance service with him. We can call him, and you know, not now today, you know, we got our cell phones and we got these international and roaming fees and stuff like that. We go to different countries, you know, we got to pay extra money, you know, to use that long distance service. You don't have to deal with that with God. You know, when I travel and there are times when me and Margaret, we travel abroad and we have to change our phone service to a special international service. And so when we travel abroad, we'll call up the company. I call up the phone company and I would say, hey, we're getting ready to travel. These are the start date, begin date. We need to switch over to an international plan to start on this day and to end on this day. What that does is that keeps our charges from being sky high. It controls our charges because what happens is when you don't do that and you just roam internationally, those companies in those different countries, they have the freedom to charge you whatever they want to charge you. Okay. And they can charge you whatever your phone company doesn't have any control over it. But when you switch over to an international plan, then your phone company does have some control over it to keep it down to a place where you don't get shocked when you come back home. Guess what, people? We don't have to do that stuff when it comes to God. We don't have to, when we're traveling abroad or we're in certain situations, you know, maybe you're sitting behind bars, you know, they have to call. And, you know, when you're sitting behind bars, you have to call and, you know, you got a few minutes to talk to somebody. Then all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and then all of a sudden you get a message on the phone saying, you have 1 minute left. You'd be like, golly. And you talk, everybody start talking real fast to try to get that everything out in that 1 minute. You don't have that with God. With God, you can talk all day, every day. Anytime, day or night, there's no limits to it whatsoever. So when it comes to having regular communication or regular conversations with God to prevent there being a gap or a disconnect in our relationship, there is no excuse. Meaning that all barriers have been removed. Meaning that there is no limits. If you guys remember, and I'm going to bring this to a close. If you remember when Jesus died on the cross, when he died on the cross in the temple of the temple in Jerusalem, there was a room in there called the innermost courts. And in the innermost court, only the high priest was allowed to go into that particular area because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was stored. And that room was the opening or the entrance into that room was covered by these huge curtains. And these curtains were extremely thick and extremely heavy, and they were weighted, okay? So that no one could actually see through them or anything like that. You know, they were weighted curtains. And when the high priest would go in there, this is how strict it was about anybody going in there. The high priest would go into this room, and that's where he would talk to or have conversations with God. This is where him and God would talk back and forth with each other on a regular, consistent basis. And this is where God would speak to and give instructions to the high priest concerning the people. And so the high priest would go in there, and because this place was such a sacred place that no one else could go in there, that they would tie a rope around the high priest's leg, and they would also have bells on his robe that he would wear, tiny bells on the bottom of his robe on the hem. So as he moved around, they could tell that he was still alive because they can hear the little bells tingling a little bit. And if those little bells, you know, stopped tingling, and if they would call out to him, and if they didn't get a response because that rope was tied to his leg, they would not go in the room to get him out. They would take that rope and just pull him out. Okay. Anyway, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the sky went black. There was an earthquake and thunder in the area. It says that it shook the temple so hard that that curtain was ripped. And when that curtain was ripped, it ripped open, and all the people was able to see into this room for the first time. People that had never, ever seen in this room before, other than the high priest, they was able to see into this room. This room, if you guys remember a lesson that I've taught before about the Ark of the Covenant, that the Ark of the Covenant represented, ever since it was built, when the children of Israel was living in the desert, and all the way up until they got the temple built, and here it is now in Israel in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant always represented the actual presence of God. It always, wherever that Ark of the Covenant was, that represented the actual presence of God. So now this room, the innermost court in the temple, it has been ripped open. And now everybody can see the actual presence of God. This is supposedly a representation that when Jesus died on the cross, he said, there is now no more long distance limitations on your ability to be able to talk to God. When there was a time where, say, we only have 4 hours to talk on AT&T long distance on our landline phone, it was like then all of a sudden it became unlimited. It's kind of like, you know, in a natural kind of look at it like that. OK, all of a sudden, there was no more limitations. We did not need the people did not need the high priest anymore to communicate for them. They did not need the high priest anymore to do sacrifices for them on the behalf of their sins or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Atonement sacrifice. They did not need the high priest to talk to God. They could talk to God directly themselves, unlimited, no limitations whatsoever. So God said, let's remove the gap. Let's remove any obstacles that's creating a gap. Let's remove any obstacles that's creating a disconnect. Now you can talk to me with unlimited services. You have no excuse now. We're being able to talk to God, unlimited. God is never too close or never too far to talk to you or for you to talk to him. Here's something else. I'm going to close on this part right here. I think, yeah. Pray more than just at mealtimes and bedtime.
Amen.
Pray more than just at mealtimes and bedtimes. A lot of us, you know, we have these certain times that we'll pray, and these prayers become so routine to the point where they don't have a whole lot of meaning to them. Okay, they just become I don't want this to sound bad, but this is how they actually feel. They feel like just a really useless, helpless routine. This is what we're supposed to do, so this is what we're doing. Okay? And I know it's they're more meaningful than that, but sometimes that's how they feel. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, never stop praying. Not just at mealtimes, not just at bedtimes, but all the time pray. All the time have a conversation with God. Praying is simply having a conversation with God. Pray all the time. Never stop praying, the scripture says. It is important for us to develop a lifestyle of prayer. It needs to be routine in our lives. What does routine mean? Routine is a regular procedure and not just at special times or for special reasons, okay? So often when we talk to God, when we pray to God, when we want to have conversations with God, it's always because of some special reason or some special purpose or something like that, you know, or some special event, you know, oh, it's Thanksgiving time, let's say a prayer. And we're going to say a real prayer during Thanksgiving time, you know, because we all together. Oh, it's Christmas time, so let's say a prayer. You know, it's Jesus' birthday, so we got to make sure we say a real prayer during his birthday, you know. Oh, it's dinner time and we all gathered together as a family, so let's all hold hands together and we're going to say a real prayer this time. We're not just going to say, what's the food prayer that everybody say?
God is great, God is good.
Yeah, we're not going to say them simple prayers, like, because the family is all gathered together, we're going to hold hands, we're going to stand up, we're going to take our caps off, you know what I mean? We're going to say a real prayer this time, you know, because why? It's a special occasion, it's a special event, it's a special reason. Oh, we got issues, there's something going on in our lives, something tragic happened or something just going on, you know what I'm saying? We lost our job or somebody got hurt, somebody died, or we're real sick, or this is going on, that going on. So we got to say a special prayer. We got to say a prayer for, because it's a special reason, you know? Here's the deal. No. Yes, pray during all of those times. Pray during all of those seasons, situations, but never stop praying. Our prayer needs to be routine. It needs to be a regular procedure, not just for a special reason at special times. We need to have regular routine talking to God all the time. We need to talk. You know, when we talk to our best friend, for those of you that have best friends or maybe a close family member, some of you talk to some people every day. It's regular routine conversation every day. My wife, she has a twin sister, Margaret, and Margaret lives in LA. They talk to each other every day. Am I right?
Yeah.
Every day. They talk to each other more than once a day. They talk to each other 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. They be talking to each other sometimes. I'd be like, oh my gosh, y'all talking again? They talk to each other all the time. Regular, routine conversation. When my wife and her sister get together, although they thousands of miles away from each other, when they get together, it's almost like they never been separated. It's almost like, dang, there's no gap there. There's no disconnect there because they talk all the time. You know, there are people in your lives, you know, maybe your mom or maybe your dad or maybe your sister, your brother, maybe your favorite cousin. There are people that you talk to every single day. And if not every day, every other day. And because you talk to those people on a regular, consistent basis, it is routine. There is no gap. There is no disconnect in your relationship with those people. And God desires, he's longing for there not to be a gap, there not to be a disconnect in our relationship with him. Talk to God about everything. You will talk to your best friend about everything. Everything. You will talk to your best friend about stuff that you won't talk to nobody about. You got secrets that you talk to your best friend about, or whoever that person that you talk to that you trust so much on a regular routine basis. There are things that we'll talk to a best friend about that we won't even talk to God about, because we think it's too personal. We'll talk to our best friend about it, but why won't we talk to God about it? Because there's a gap, there's a disconnect in the relationship. That's why. When we talk to God on a regular about everything and anything, this is what happens. When we talk to God about everything and anything on a regular, consistent basis, the thing that happens, it becomes easy for us to identify as His child. It becomes easy for us to identify as children of God because there's such a closeness. There's not a gap or a disconnect. When we talk to God on a consistent, regular basis, having a conversation with Him, it also becomes easy for us to identify Him as our Father. So many people struggle with identifying with God as being their Father, not because of a lack of desire, it's because a lack of communication. There's a gap, there's a disconnect, there's a lack of communication. So we struggle with identifying as being His children, and we also struggle with identifying Him as being our Father.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.